Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Just after 4 o'clock here on a very busy Tuesday, that means we check in with City Hall. And our great friend is the mayor of the city of Bloomington, John Hamilton. Mayor Hamilton, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mike. I'm doing well, thank you. Nice to be with you again.
73 in the forecast on Saturday. That sounds really good. 40 and over on the COVID vaccine front. That sounds great. Well, we'll start there. Last time we spoke, you were getting ready to get your shot. How did everything go?
Oh, it was a good day. I did go Wednesday, late afternoon, early evening. Got my Pfizer vaccine in the left arm. I have to give her credit. She pulled that old joke when I said, she said, which arm do you want? And I said, well, can I play tennis tomorrow? And she said, I don't know. Could you play tennis yesterday?
Oh, man. Tough crowd, I tell you.
She was right at it. But I got a shot in the left arm. I played tennis the next night. I had a little soreness. And then I did have, interestingly, like 48 hours, not quite, later, I did get really tired. And I, as I tell you, I'm no doctor, but I am told that if you had the disease, so you have some antibodies, the first shot may hit you a little more than sometimes the second shot hits people. So
really?
I had the antibodies. So I got fatigued for a 2 or 3 hour period, but then everything's been fine. And my other side effects are more hopefulness and excitement about where this will end up when I get fully vaccinated. So it all went well. Thanks to the people at IU Health.
I was not aware of if you had previously had the antibodies. That could be the side effect that goes with that. I wonder how that is for somebody, Mr. Mayor, and I know you're not an epidemiologist, but if you had it before and you didn't know if you had it before, then you get vaccinated and have all these side effects. I wonder if that's a tell that you did have it before. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just, all I know is when it's your turn and you get the chance, you should get vaccinated at whether it's the Pfizer or Moderna or J&J. And I know you had a little experience too, because you were supposed to tell your story with me today, right, Mike?
I was supposed to go this morning, and I won't name any names or do anything like that, because that's not the point of this story. But just like everybody else, I was over the 45 threshold, so I was excited. So what did I do? Well, the first one I saw, boom, I'm going to take it. And then as time marched on, and I keep odd hours sometimes, I would pop on the old internet, or, 1 o'clock in the morning or so, and sometimes other opportunities would come up. So I was booked today for shot number 1 of 2 for the Moderna. And last week it popped up, hey, there's a one-shot Johnson & Johnson. So I was like, well, that sounds a lot better. I can be done earlier. So I sign up for that. I try to cancel my other appointment because I don't want to hold it for no reason, because I've moved on.
Being a good citizen.
I'm trying like hell to be that. And then in this day and age, I could buy 10 million shares of something stock online, no problem. But to cancel an appointment, you just can't pick up the phone and call anybody anymore. You have to, you can, but there's no one there. You have to go through the press 1 for this, press 5 for that, do this, do that. And the first day I tried to get rid of this, I called and it was after hours. So I said, well, okay, I'll just make a note. I'll call in the morning. I call in the morning, 35 minutes later, I just don't have time to do that. So I said, well, I'll just try later in the day. And I tried this 5 different times, and I couldn't get a human being in less than 15 minutes. And the kicker is, this afternoon, I looked down at my phone. I'm like, who's calling me during the radio show? They're like, oh, are you coming to your appointment today? If not, they left me a voicemail. They said, if not, can you call us back? And I said, okay, I'll call them back at the break.
That would be my fondest desire, to call you back.
I will walk over there at some point and tell you I'm not showing up. So I call them back, and guess what it does? It goes to another press 1 for this, press 5 for this, and it reads me the disclaimer about how you can't do this and that and everything else, and I'm just trying to give up my appointment. So if you're going to one of the places today and you're just walking in hoping to get one, well, if you guess the right spot, Kroger, you can probably take my dose.
Well,
try to be a good American. I try to be a good citizen. And in being in America, you know, if we find a better deal, we're always going to take the better deal. So
Right. Well, that's got to be a little frustrating. But I guess I'd react a couple things. One, if you do miss an appointment, our people here have proven very, very good about not wasting vaccine. So they do find somebody to take it. They are, and that's really important. And it is really important to try to cancel those. I think the state system's quite different. The what's it called? The online systems.
Rshot.in. Yeah.
Yeah, at Rshot. That may be different. And anyway, appreciate you trying. That's really important. And it sounds like you did your level best. And we can't ask for more than that. You didn't get the upshot. You didn't get your shot, though, today.
No, I did not, because I will get it in two Tuesdays, and then I'm done, because it's just a Johnson & Johnson one-time deal, then having to wait till the 20-somethings of April and then wait 2 weeks after that. So I thought, well, this will be easier. And it's really easy to get an appointment. It's impossible to cancel one. So I guess that's in the greater good. I don't know if there's many like me that are trying just to get that one day or that 1 hour. Well, you know, I'm on the air all these days. I have different hours than everybody else has hours. So if I can find this. But the great news is I've signed up for like 50 of them. And, I've gotten to the point where it's fish or cut bait. And I'm like, okay, this one's good. I'll stick with this one. But the great news is we are moving in the right direction. I think we weren't surprised to go from 55 to 50, but I think in the speed we got from 50 to 40, that has to be optimistic for us moving forward.
Yeah, I think, and I know the governor is going to be speaking. I think he's scheduled to speak today some more. I don't know what he'll say, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw continued changes. You know, on the one hand, we are getting vaccines in arms, and that's key, and we're making sure we're using all the appointments we can and using all the vaccine that we can. I haven't seen the latest data. It's still really important to make sure that we're getting enough people who are signing up for vaccines, that we're not having people decline to get vaccines at large numbers, because we are making progress. There's a little bit of a plateau in some ways on cases that are the national folks, the experts still continue to say we got to be really careful, because if we've stabilized at a number that's better than going up, but it's not as good as going down, and there's still a risk if you're stabilized at a many hundreds a day in the state that you know, if we had a variant show up and all, we got to be worried. So I really do want to keep emphasizing how important it is to get the vaccine, unless you have a specific medical condition your doctor or your physician is telling you you shouldn't do it. I hope everyone will, because that's how we're going to get out of this thing.
And I agree with you. And just because I put off one shot does not mean I've put it off. I've gone for the shorter time frame instead of the double shot. So that's what's I'm trying. But we learned today, or at least I did, in the HT, that Baxter's Bloomington facility is going to fill vials of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine, writes Michael Reschke. So that has to be exciting, because more is more is more.
Well, it is really terrific to have Baxter joining in with Catalent to be doing these vaccines. It's exciting. They don't have a drive-up window there, unfortunately, for all of us. But it's pretty cool that the medical market here is so clued in and so such a part of this. And let's give credit, the amazing scientific and pharmaceutical and medical community that produced these vaccines in record time to help us get out of this. That's really something we shouldn't forget, the great work they all did.
Did I read or hear, I've been kind of out of the loop the last 3 days, the NCAA tournament has taken over my body like it normally does. My bracket is in the recycle bin, excuse me. But did I hear we're going to have another mass vaccination site in Indianapolis or in Indiana coming up around the corner?
You know, I don't know that. I know I expect we will. I haven't heard the details. I'll probably pick that up. I haven't been, you know, following every jot as well, but I'll hear that tomorrow. And those are popular. And, you know, you typically they are the one shot deal and you can sign up and they run big numbers. We're hoping that maybe we would be allowed to do that, or maybe IU's facility would be allowed to do that in the future. They have the capacity to handle that kind of volume, and that would be terrific. It's mostly making sure we have the vaccine, right, that can be delivered in many thousands of doses to one site like that. But keep your eye on that, because I know people have done that to get it over with and drive up to Indy, or maybe one day to Simon Scott Assembly Hall or wherever.
Yeah, and Simon Scott Assembly Hall, I guess they get going officially Monday the 29th. So that means the convention center will slow down, and they'll finally phase out. The great news is, as you mentioned, Mr. Mayor, there are plenty of different places you can go. You can drive if you'd like. You can stay here if you'd like. But just whatever it is, it looks like getting the vaccination done is our best way moving forward. And at the city, you were giving out bonuses. How many of those checks have you been writing lately for $100 here or there?
Yeah, you know, the latest news I got was we were bumping right up to 100 people who have completed their vaccinations and have filed for that $100 paycheck supplement. And I'm excited. The more we can get, the better. That's money well spent. And we actually found out our healthcare provider is going to pay half of it for all of the members who are in the health plan. So we really appreciate that. And I hope more people will help incentivize folks to get those vaccines. So we're approaching 100.
Exactly, 100 and 100 bucks a shot there. Excellent. Now, we've been talking about water main breaks for a little bit, and you had some theories on why, or not why they were happening, but you weren't terribly surprised that this could happen after 100-odd years. But you mentioned a few weeks ago that Dr. Kelson and his crew were trying to figure out anything they could to try to either do some preventative medicine or figure out what's going on. You had a study come out. What did you learn from that?
Well, I haven't read the whole study, but I'll tell you what I know, because I'm not an epidemiologist nor a water system specialist.
A hydrologist?
A hydrologist, there we go. That's a $10 name. There are two main things we think that have happened, besides just the general aging of our system, which is the underlying cause. But one was what's called a new phrase I didn't know, called a water hammer. And if you have an episode of pressure changing, and we did have an episode where some pump and some signaling about the pumps was failing, I had to think of you remember the old movie China Syndrome?
Oh yeah.
Where the gauges weren't working at the reactor, and it made people take the wrong action, and something, our gauges weren't working, and we put the wrong pumps on or something. It can cause a water hammer, which can really cause pipes to shake and push a pressure wave through. That may have been part of it. And then the second thing was just really cold temperatures, and cold temperatures cause pipes to shrink, which can cause stress in the joints. Cold water can do the same thing if it's really cold going through. So that combination were the two that I've heard, and the report, you know, they're very focused on trying to understand what's going on and fixing it.
And anything we can find that will help prevent this from happening. It seems like in the last few weeks, though, it's been a little quieter. So that's the good news.
It has been. I think we're putting out a press release today. It's probably not quite out yet, but we did have a main break that actually caused another problem, which is, you probably know that our water is chlorinated for safety purposes, and that's the reason you can't put your tap water into your aquarium, because chlorine is not good with fish,
it's good for
protecting us from bad bugs and all. But we had a water main break that actually went pretty directly into a retention pond that had some fish in it, and that did not mix well. So we had to clean up today, and there'll be a press release about that. But you know, these water mains are, the breaks are, they have consequences, and we're doing everything we can to improve that and be transparent about it when it happens. So, And watch for that.
We will, absolutely. The more we know. Mayor John Hamilton's our guest. He checks in every Tuesday just after 4:05. And with the great forecast we have, 70 tomorrow. It's going to rain a little bit on Thursday. 73 on Saturday. Heck, we were out and about. When did we go out? All these days are running together. I believe it was Sunday. Sunday was a really nice day. So we were out on campus, downtown, everything else. And just great to see the people out, everybody trying to stay socially distanced. But as we've learned, Kirkwood will be back to some pedestrian-only traffic. And that'll start, I believe, on Thursday. Is that right?
That's correct. Thursday this week, we will be going back to a closing of 2.5 blocks on Kirkwood.
And that's going to be nothing new in the sense that we did this last fall and last summer as well. You will still have ways to get, let me see if my north and south across Kirkwood, is that right? Yes, north and south.
Yeah.
You can still go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been experimenting with this, right, since the pandemic, because we know outdoor dining is safer, and so we wanted to help, and the restaurants have worked very closely with us, and we keep refining it. For example, the block between Washington and Walnut, closest to the square, we're only going to close half that block. That's going to let CVS have access to the street, and they're doing, I think you can even maybe get vaccines there. I'm not sure, but so only the west half of that block is going to close in front of Farm and Uptown, but keep the other half open. And then the two blocks between Indiana and Grant, crossing Dunn, those two blocks east-west will be pedestrian only, and they'll let those proprietors. We're really planning to keep it closed 24/7 through June. Is the current plan. That could change, but to give people chance to really set up the places right and use them well, and I hope it'll be a good place. I plan to visit because outdoor dining is a good thing to do.
Absolutely, and I think the angle about having more permanent outdoor dining will help, as opposed to helter-skelter, tear this up, pull it down, tear it up, pull
right.
it down. And then the city guys and gals don't have to put the bollards up every Monday afternoon or it's just extra labor that we've seen over the course of last summer into the fall. We're getting better at doing this.
We are, and we're learning. You know, there are places that are you still see the parklets, as we call them, where you've got in front of some restaurants, they've taken two or three parking spaces and used it for seating, and some restaurants have really embraced that and found it useful. Others, not so much. So we're really trying to respond to what the market can use and use those public spaces for safer dining and entertainment for everybody. So we'll stay flexible. You know, we hope that things will open up more and more. But heck, maybe we'll like the outdoor dining anyway, even when we don't have to do it for health reasons. So we're taking notes and talking to people and seeing what they think about it.
I saw you did a survey. Was there anything that jumped off the page that surprised you one way or another that when asking about the closing of streets, was there anybody or anything that you said, wow, I didn't even think of that, or anything that jumped off the page?
No, I don't have anything that jumped off to me that I can share. I mean, I know there were some differences for some organizations didn't like having the street unavailable for deliveries, for example.
Sure.
That was an issue for some. I haven't really heard any sense of customers not liking it. I think there may be sometimes people are frustrated they can't park right where they wanted to in front of a place. And, you know, we have to deal with the handicap access for all this, disability access. We have to deal with emergency vehicle access. Those two blocks that are closed will have a 12-foot path down the middle that's reserved in case we need to run emergency vehicles through there. So there are little things like that. But, you know, again, look, a lot of cities do this. We want to evolve and figure out how to use this public space the best we can for everybody.
Yeah, and balancing it between the business, as you mentioned, the public safety and the public. A little bit better here that we're doing it 12 months later, as opposed to we didn't know what we would do on the first day. We were just looking for any reasons to get outside and to get out of our homes. This is breaking news from Georgia. The state of, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, thanks to Zach Osterman for sending this over, all Georgia adults will be eligible for coronavirus vaccines on Thursday.
Whoa. Wow.
Good for
there
them.
You go.
16 and
there
over.
You go.
So that makes me have more hope that we're going to hear some great news from Governor Holcomb here in about an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we loosen it up, if the state does, just to make sure as many people get it as quickly as we can. And you know, the more vaccine we put out, the more we get. That's locally. And so we've been, you know, we're over 50,000 doses given out by IU Health here, and let's keep it rolling.
Down the street we go, and the more jabs we get, the even better. All right, have we covered all of our bases? Have we touched on it? I don't want to leave anything out. I always get a little scrambled here because news is breaking. We got old business, new business. What's going on with your what's going on? I know you'd like to talk about the what's happening at the Lower Cascades. Where are we in that whole development? Is that going to be remained a park? I knew you had a time on that, and I can't remember when that was going to be resolved.
I just was talking about that. I'm hoping basically to get that resolved so we know what we're doing by the end of the summer, that we have a plan for a school year when that starts. I still encourage people to go there. I think it's beautiful. It's a great place to walk, and there's actually going to be some upgrading work in trails around that park to get better access to the great little waterfall that you can get to, and upgrade some of the trails. And by the way, since we're talking about outdoors, I might mention that I think, it'll be a week from Saturday, the downtown farmers market opens again.
Oh,
so that's
what
sure
we were.
Sign
yep.
of spring, April 3rd.
We didn't want, that was the one thing I forgot now you've reminded me of. April 3rd, Saturday, that will be the downtown farmers market. And I would suppose all the information about everything that has to do with that and distancing and that's all going to be at the website at some point, correct?
That will all be on the website. That's right. And, you know, I think there's one more day of winter market, one more day this Saturday of winter market. And then we start that next week. And, you know, you mentioned Georgia. You made me think about Atlanta and of course, Boulder, too. And Mayor, I will just tell you, one of the worst things that I love mayor meetings. We haven't had them in person. But one of the worst things that happens at national mayor meetings is almost every time there's a new spotlight on some mayor whose city went through these terrible events, and you just kind of wait for the spotlight to swing around. It's really awful. And I hope people can, you know, continue to find the common sense responses to these things to help get people the help they need, to protect against the awful firepower that gets leveled and, you know, in 30 seconds or 10 minutes, and hey, our heart goes out to Atlanta and to Boulder and all the families involved.
Absolutely. Impossible to argue with that. Thank you, as always, for your time. We'll hopefully see you in the sunshine this weekend, walking about our fair town and enjoying some outdoor dining. Can we do it again next Tuesday?
Let's do it, Mike. Good to talk to you, and have a good week.